Good morning. Our conversation has been in heaven. But we journey from sense to soul, as states of consciousness unfolding. We are not all at the same level of attainment. We are not all of the same state of awareness. The fires of conviction have not necessarily deepened us to the same degree in our utter reliance on the absolute. And we have all been in that place where materia medica has been the right and necessary, wise and sensible thing to do. And in the early stages of our human experience, we really don't know that there is any other way. And so it is sensible and wise and necessary that we avail ourselves of every form as which help and healing can be made available to us. It might be medication, it might be medicine, it might be surgery, it might be therapy, it might be many forms as which human good is able to redress the balance of good and evil into a manageable degree where we can live our lives and function fully and freely. And it's absolutely right that we should. We really have no problem with this, with ourselves, as we go through these stages of unfoldment, because we're not even aware of the fact that that is what is happening. That we are a state of consciousness evolving, unfolding, out-picturing whatever it is that the world presents to us as real and we accept. Why should we not? I mean, it's what we're born into. Who are we to say or know anything about what seems to be so real? And so sometimes we're sick and sometimes we're well. And then, for some reason, it may be a crisis, it may be adversity, it may be sickness, it may be some kind of a breakdown of our human mechanism. But something happens to sow in us the seed of another kind of dis-ease, another kind of ill at ease with ourselves in this human condition. And that is the sowing of the seed of spirit. We don't always know how to proceed, how to go forward, which way to turn. We might look to the church, it may not speak to us, we may look to varying religions, we may find nothing that speaks of our awakening spiritual crisis. Nothing speaks to this dis-ease of soul. And so we continue to seek and we find this way and that way, and out of the melee of it all, eventually the consciousness we are presents to us that which ultimately is the way for us, and we recognize it, we rejoice, we found the way, and we begin to study and to practice the principles of a spiritual path. But along with this newfound, albeit infant, let alone adolescent, we're not even at that stage yet, infant awakening to the existence of a way of life lived by spirit, through spirit. Along with that, we're still carrying our bags and baggage of material sense. If we could discard the bad, we would, and if we can just hang on to the good bits, that would be great. And we bring it with us. But in our ongoing and our study of a spiritual message, we begin to be taught what the soul recognizes to be true. And that is the nature of God. That begins another cycle of evolution in our awareness, because instead of, as the world has, a God out there somewhere, and we were conditioned into believing if we just say our prayers and pray to God for someone, whether it does or doesn't work is neither here nor there. All we are concerned with, we have said our prayers to this God somewhere. But somewhere along the line, in this process of awakening, we begin to release these concepts of divinity, separate and apart from our consciousness of humanity. They have taken my God away, is where we come to. Suddenly, because so many seeds of wisdom and knowledge have found foothold in our fertile soil of consciousness, we begin to release this concept of duality. We begin to realize the true nature of God, the ever-presence of divinity as the eye of our own being. But we still got this suitcase full of human stuff that we think we will need, we have not yet fully outgrown, and we're bringing it with us. One of the situations that then begins to present to us is the dichotomy. What do we do about the medical? And we haven't spoken about healing in this class. It's an enormous subject. You could have a whole class on the clarification of the meaning of that one word. Because certainly the revelation of the Christian principle and its clarification given us through Joel in the infinite way deals with the fundamental principles of resurrection. The resurrection of our spiritual body and its perfection and harmony on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, but what about this physical body? You don't have one. That's a fact. But we began the experience by not only thinking we have one. We are the body. We are surrounded by bodies, many, and some can help us, and some can't, and some do this, and some do that. But we are in a world of form, to which we look and upon which we rely, become dependent, and can therefore be denied. But as we begin to go forward in our spiritual awakening, it presents another problem. How do I deal with this need to be healed of the claims that at one time never presented a problem? Go to the doctor. Go to the physio. Go what? But now I'm beginning to experience myself as a state of awareness that no longer 100% believes in the totality of mortality and form in the flesh. Not 100%. But there is still this vestige in this baggage that we're bringing with us on this journey that we think we might need, that we still are tempted to resort to, but it presents us with a crisis of soul. How does that equate with this? How does the old equate with this newfound vision of life lived through God in spirit, by grace, when we all recognize only too well the absolute truth of absolute truth? How do we reconcile the physical sense of body with this newfound vision and light, which, like the wax bird flying towards the sun, is dissolving every step we take if we did but know it, our mortal, material, fleshly, physical sense of form. But so long as we still have it, and we do, there will always be this dilemma. Am I denying my ongoing by resorting to that which once was so real, so reliable, so available, so sensible, and so wise? Am I denying common sense by ignoring it or overlooking it and trying to force a spiritual demonstration? And it's a little bit like a sliding scale. No one can or ever should tell us what we should do. But unto thine own self be thou true, then canst thou unto no man be untrue. So each one of us individually must decide what we accept, what we believe, what we take upon ourselves as real, and what still does present as very real to us, and not be so foolish as to ignore it, thinking that we have outgrown it, when we have not yet fully taken upon ourselves the freedom of that state of consciousness that reveals absolute truth. But it still doesn't get us off this hook with which we struggle of whether we... You see, now, instead of it being so natural to us, it becomes a problem because we think we are resorting to, instead of acknowledging spirit alone as all. It is a dilemma, so long as it is a dilemma. But there is no doubt that there are some who have come to that place where there is no choice. I mentioned during the class that I went to attend Lorraine Sinclair's Palm Beach class in 1976. It was just the most wonderful experience for me. I only heard about it 2 weeks before it happened. I was at a tape meeting, and the tape group leader said there wasn't going to be a meeting for a couple of weeks because she was going to Lorraine Sinclair's class. I said, "Who's Lorraine Sinclair?" And she said, "Oh, she's the lady who edits." I said, "I'm going." She said, "What do you mean you're going? It's in 2 weeks." I said, "I'm going. I bought a ticket. I got on the plane. I went to Palm Beach. When I got to Palm Beach, I got outside the airport. A lady came up to me," and this is all a bit by the, you know, on the side. But anyway, a lady came up to me and said, "I couldn't help but notice you on the plane. You had such a sort of a smile on your face. Where are you staying?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "What do you mean you don't know? You've just come from England, haven't you?" I said, "Yes." "And you, what do you mean you don't know where you're staying? Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm here to attend a seminar." She said, "Well, where is the seminar?" And I said it was at wherever it was. And she said, "Oh, a friend of mine owns a hotel just down the street from that. Why don't you let me give you a lift and I'll take you to this hotel and I'll book you in." Everything was taken care of. It was a wonderful unfoldment. When I got to Palm Beach, I didn't know anything about appointments. I didn't know you're supposed to arrange an appointment to see Lorraine Sinclair. I was there a week before the class. It was just the way the flights worked out. And while I was waiting for the class, I thought, I'll go and see Lorraine Sinclair. I mean, this little upstart. So I went and I got to this big condo and knocked on the door, and this doorman opened it. "Yes. Can I see Lorraine Sinclair, please? Do you have an appointment?" I said, "No." "Well, she doesn't see anyone without appointment." I said, "Well, I've come from England to see her. Is it possible to have an appointment?" He said, "Just a minute." And I heard him say, there's a young Englishman here wants to see you." And she must have said, "Ask him if he's here for the class." So he said, "Are you here for the class?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, well, in that case, you can go up." So up I went, and miracle of miracles. I spent an hour with Lorraine talking, and then she finally said, come into my study, and we meditated, and it was just the most amazing experience. As I opened my eyes after this meditation with her and looked across the room, there was just this image of light. The whole appearance was just translucence. It was like seeing through and underwater. I don't know how to describe it. And I said to her, I feel as if I ought to say thank you, but I just don't know how or who to. And she said, just be natural. Now, all I'm saying is, we need to learn to be natural. Because no sooner had I attended her class and got back to England, not that this relates to being natural in any way, but no sooner had I got back than, and I said yesterday or Friday, all hell let loose in my physical body. I didn't know what had happened. I had been on cloud nine. It's like the open sesame, the red, it's like everything had just unfolded, and there I was with Lorraine. I didn't know how I even got there. It happened without any sense of doing. It just happened. It was consciousness. And as a result of that, and the experience of the class itself, I was just utterly speechless. I got home, and the very last thing anyone would expect to happen immediately was that the thorn in the flesh should begin to erupt. That latent, dormant beliefs had been rooted out, unbeknown to me, by the presence of this all-pervasive light, and there were some dark corners of belief that I didn't know existed, called dis-ease, belief in two powers, erroneous conditions of the flesh, mortality that still seemed very real. I had come into some degree of spiritual consciousness, but I still had a physical body, and was it playing up? Was it shouting? And in fact, I worked with Lorraine for 7 years in pain throughout the whole time. But the point I am making, not once did she say, well, perhaps you should see a doctor. Have you had any advice about this claim? From the beginning, there was nothing less than the absolute truth. But she left it to me to decide my fate. But to me by this time, and I say to me by this time because it isn't necessarily the case with everyone, and there is no judgment if it isn't this way, because we are all evolving, and we all come from out of the cocoon of material physical sense into the fullness of that butterfly freedom of spirit, where all of the things that were once obstructions and obstacles to us as we crawled along the ground, we just look down on and see there's no power. They cannot deny us. They cannot inhibit the path of flight of soul. I knew what I wanted by this time. I knew the nature of individual being. I knew the nature of God as spirit. I knew the nature of error. This was all intellectual, of course. I mean, even when I first found the infinite way, there was nothing arrogant about it, but there was just a recognition of the total rightness of it all. I knew it was all true. Everything I heard, I already knew. There was a state of total recognition of the rightness. And I remember Joel once saying, don't ever think that inside 10 years you will even have begun to grasp it. And I remember after about 3 or 4 years thinking, that's funny, I've grasped it. Little did I know. It has to go from here to here. It has to become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. It has to become the substance of our being and our eternal life. It has to become an inextinguishable light. Humanly, it isn't. It's a little flame and it's enough. We can see our way forward and we go forward and we think, isn't this wonderful? But we don't realize we have to meet every latent belief. that can find foothold in us. It's never personal. These are human, these are universal beliefs. They are part of the hypnotism of the carnal mind, but we don't know any of this at this stage. We think we know the truth, but we don't realize we have not yet fully ascended into the freedom that it alone provides. So there is this intermediate stage, and this is really what I'm coming to, where the human was perfectly happy. Oh, pain, go to the doctor. Not a question of in his mind. It's the right thing to do. Have a shot of this or a pill of that or a potion of something else. And if it tasted bad enough, my God, it must be doing some good. It was awful in those days, wasn't it? M&B. Does anyone remember M&B? Anyway, I do. Some kind of a medicine that's you got it. He's got a flu, M&B. He's got a pain, M&B. He's got earache, M&B. Oh my God, M&B. I never did know what it meant. Anyway, that's another sidetrack. But it was the thing to do. And there was no problem with doing it. But we come to a place where it is a problem. It starts to become a problem. Because it's not what we want to do anymore. The reason I have placed you there is not as it would seem. Awake, my child, my love awaits. 'Twas once your chosen dream. Remember, we quoted this from a poem. But your dream has now changed. I am with thee. My eye is yours to help you see. Love all, they wait, they mean no harm. Let not the wheels of time alarm you. Trust, for I will work in thee. Know, in truth, that you are me. Listen always, if you can, and I will help you understand I am. This is why we have such a problem now with the flesh. Because we know a new dimension is beginning, a new day is beginning to dawn in our awareness. A day of a new heaven and a new earth, of life lived by spirit, as spirit, free in spirit. But I still have this pain. And there is still this tendency and a temptation, perhaps I should go and see a doctor. And one of the things that happens the minute we do resort to that mindset, we take upon ourselves the entirety of its belief. Oh. And then, of course, we think, oh my goodness, I wish I didn't even know. You know, I'd rather not have known. I'd just deal with the pain. And this was what happened with me. I never resorted to anything. It was just the way in which I knew I had no choice but to come. There were times when I would call and cry out for help. Please, please, just help me. I don't want any words. Please just be with me. Of course I will be with you was enough for me to release concern and fear and doubt. Didn't necessarily, the mirage wasn't necessarily removed immediately. The appearance, the suggestion of a claim that would deny the unfolding ongoing of the consciousness I am and its freedom on earth still existed. But I trusted in the spirit of the one to whom I had turned. But it was my faith that made, thy faith hath made thee whole, Jesus said. I trusted totally. I knew the nature of error as hypnotism. It didn't save me from the sharp end. But I felt I had no choice. I wasn't trying to force a spiritual demonstration. There was no choice. This is the way. Walk ye in it was the only choice, which is no choice. But I rejoiced in having no choice, because I knew the unreality of duality. I knew the hypnotism of material sense. I knew that no matter what anyone said I had, or what the evidence of the senses gave testimony to, I knew it was hypnotism, I knew that I am I. It didn't save me from the years of initiation through which I had to pass, which we all do. As Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by this whole process of initiation, of putting off the mortal, material sense, personal sense of life. So somewhere along the line, we need to try to understand how it is possible, when we don't yet feel ready to relinquish this suitcase that once served us so well, how do we equate what now feels like we are resorting to and denying this vision? How do we equate that with living a spiritual life, with living the infinite way, when we hear so much about its healing principles? Lorraine once shared a story with me, and I know in England there are many dyed-in-the-wool Christian Science old-timers who are so stubborn. It's not that they've attained freedom by grace in spirit, but they are so stubborn and so determined they are not going to do this. When in a subtle way, when we come to the infinite way, which is not so rigid, it's a greater freedom, and therefore freedom requires tremendous discipline. We do not suffer from, you must not this, you must not that. We are given our freedom to experience our present state of consciousness, even as John the Baptist knew that what he was doing was just material symbols, baptizing with water as a symbol of Christ, and that there would come one, the latchet of who he was unworthy to loose. And yet when Jesus came to him to put the seal of Christian approval on this symbol of service, he released him by saying, suffer it to be so now, for it beholdeth us to fulfill all righteousness. We must all go through these states and stages of consciousness unfolding. Joel says there is no skipping of grades. It would be lovely to bypass the middle bit, the long bit. You know, I was saying to someone yesterday that there is, Virginia Stevenson speaks of the 3 degrees, and the second degree is like a no man's land. We set off, we've built our boat, it's a sunny day, we've got our sail, there's lots of wind, we get in the boat, we're thrilled, we've got this, and we're setting off to the promised land, and there's people waving and cheering, and we're waving back, and oh, it's wonderful, and off we go to the sunset. And before we know where we are, we're out of sight of land. It's funny, we can't see where we're supposed to be going. The wind has dropped, our sail is flapping at best, and we're going nowhere. And we come into this second degree where the temptation always comes to question the rightness. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but have we gone the wrong way? Where is the wind of spirit that sets sail? This momentum, this longing, this joy in awakening, in finding a spiritual path, where is it? So we come to this stage where we're not quite sure which way to go. And in one way, in a subtle form, those who refuse rigidly to resort, quote, concept, to anything medical, are actually perpetuating a belief in two powers. This is the vision and the freedom that the infinite way allows us as we unfold as states of consciousness evolving. I'm not doing that because that is material and this is spiritual. That is an attitude which we must release. There is nothing but spirit. God is the substance of all form. Spirit constitutes the nature of all being. There is only one activity, God, consciousness, appearing as. And at this time I cannot claim to have fully attained, so my consciousness is still appearing as these forms that once were everything, but now which a bit questionable. And Lorraine Sinclair told me a story about the priest in the time of flood, which she said she used to share with people who had a problem with accepting those forms as which the healing grace of God can appear to us at our present state of attainment. And maybe some of you know the story, but the priest is giving his sermon and the flood breaks and all the congregation get in the boats and they say, "Jump in, Father, the floods are rising." "Oh no, I'm not taking a boat, God will save me." And the floods are rising and another boat comes along. I say, "Jump in, Father, the floods are still rising." "Oh no, I'm not taking a boat, I'm not resorting to a boat, God will save me." And a third boat comes along. I say, "Jump in, Father, the floods are still rising." "Oh no, I'm not taking a boat, God will save me." And he climbs to the top of the steeple and he drowns. And he gets up to heaven and he knocks on God's door and says, "What's the idea? Why didn't you come and save me?" And God said, "Well, I did send out three boats." So, you know, let us not turn away the boats. If you know God is all, that's absolute. And if you can bring that, as Joel said, no, you don't need to leave your church. You bring the infinite way into the church. You don't need to leave your hospital bed. You bring the infinite way into your hospital bed. And you don't need to leave that which is not yet fully outgrown, which is your belief in the possibility and the hope of good in a medical solution. You simply transform it by realizing and acknowledging God is the only activity. So although at this time I cannot claim to have fully attained and I still say, "Thank you, Father," and I take my tablets, God is the only substance, God is the only activity, and God actually is the form as which the healing can appear to me at this time. So don't resist or turn away the boats and then complain, "Why didn't you come and save me? It's all very well, I've been living a spiritual life." So really, basically, I think what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to get into in this session, is that yes, we have dealt with, we have spoken about and kept our conversation in heaven, we have dealt with the absolute truth. It is never not true. It is never not so. It is never not present. It is never not available. But can you yet see the fullness of its potential for salvation? Can you yet see that except a man be willing to die and be reborn of the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom? Can you see that there is that which brings us to the edge, a bit like Christopher Columbus going to the edge of a flat world and discovering there was no edge. He just kept going. But because he had the conviction of the non-power of the appearance when the world was limited by it and resorting to this little case of baggage over here that it could believe and trust in because it could see it and taste it and touch it. It is a different kettle of fish from that which exists for those who see through the illusion to the new horizon and who fearlessly set forth. Someone once said, "Death is just like a horizon. It always seems to be there, but you never come to it." And we will all see that. And perhaps this time round, through and given that experience as an opportunity to realize the eternality of the I that we are, we will all look upon it for the nothingness and the non-power that it is, and we will go through the door into that new dimension, which is here and now. So basically, I'm trying to illustrate that there are three states of consciousness when it comes to the healing process, practice, and principle. The material, the medical, solely physical means. We know none other. We resort to it. It does or doesn't work. They try something else. Then we come to this metaphysical period, when we begin to translate appearances, when we begin to demonstrate by the application of principles and watch the changes happen. In reality, if it can change, it isn't reality. And we can't suffer from something that isn't. But to the human in us, it still seems to be very real. So we still need, it's like at one time I said to Lorraine, it feels like 40 years in the wilderness. Will I ever, ever get out of this? And she said, well, it may seem like 40 years, but it could be just 40 seconds if you can just awaken. And I said, but it's like ink in the water. I can't get it out. And she said, no, you won't get it out. But like with a fountain pen, if you keep on flushing in clean, pure water, the time will come when it will be no more. That is this transformation from sense to soul. That is the second degree of this healing process, where we begin to feed in these living waters. The ink is still there and we know it. We can see it. We can feel it. And we wake and we think, oh, another day. Will it ever end? Let's start sowing to the spirit. Let's start introducing these principles of truth. And yes, I still, that which I would do, I do not. And that which I would not do, I still do, St. Paul said. But taking no thought for that state of consciousness which is really past, I press forward toward the high calling of God. So this is a journey of sorts. It is and it isn't. And you see, this is the path relatively trodden from sense to soul, which isn't really a path, because we have never not been that which we finally realize ourselves to be. That which we think we are never was. And in awakening, out of the dream, we realize we never suffered from it. But it's all a process of awakening that takes place. So how do we apply the absolute to the relative that will enable us to traverse the second degree through the application of principle and a metaphysical approach? Joel says there were many mystics who suffered because they did not work with the letter of truth. They did not understand the nature of error. As hypnotism, they thought it was a condition, but their commitment to God, they were going to suffer it for God. They don't have to. None of us have to suffer it for God. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we aren't presented with some kind of claim of a human belief in discord, dis-ease, an erroneous condition, an organic over or under function, malfunction, something in the realm of flesh. When I remember Lorraine Sinclair saying in Chicago in 82, don't sit there trying to heal your physical body. You haven't got one. But until such time as that butterfly emerges out of the cocoon it has labored so long to create of protection, inside which the transformation of soul takes place and appears as the Word becomes flesh and appears as this whole new creature, still is the same life, but it's free from the limitations of its former sense of self. That is our freedom in spirit as we sow to the Spirit and apply these principles in the face of that which the world calls real, but with which now we are able to deal by those principles of truth eternally in the heavens and not necessarily with hands. But never condemn yourself. Indeed, rejoice and be glad. Thank goodness that there are still some boats. When that is currently and remains our need for a season, don't be so rigid and stubborn as to refuse those forms as which help at this time can be made available to you. Simply translate form into spirit, human activity into divine being, flesh into spiritual substance. And let us lay the axe at the root of a belief in two powers and keep on introducing neither good nor evil, just one activity, one power, one presence, one substance, whatever it is that at this time I still have to, but I'm grateful it relieves my pain. Whatever it is, I acknowledge its only substance and its only power is what God can give it. I do not attribute the power of good or evil to the realm of effect. That's the way it seems to be. But the only power I will give it is the power of God's presence. So there is this middle stage when this adjustment takes place. What happened to me after Lorraine's class? I realized that I had long since discarded this baggage that I had previously, was my old self, level and of mindset and belief. I had practiced for many years. I knew the rightness of these truths and these principles. I understood the nature of prayer, of standing still in the acknowledgement or even the conscious awareness of the presence of God, in letting that purity and perfection of divine being fill every atom of my awareness. It didn't save me from something which put me through yet another fire of faith and conviction, a trial by fire, that without which this purification of the dross of a material sense cannot take place. Just don't force a spiritual demonstration. You know if you have a choice or not. If you do, then sometimes the wise and sensible choice at this time is to reinterpret the level as which those forms are still available, and thank you, Father, for them and be grateful. But if not, if, as there are some, in whom no choice remains, then we must together press forward into the light. Like the wax bird, the time has come when we're no longer even looking at the state of the form. We're no longer even concerned with its apparent age and the imminence of its apparent death and dying. That is the illusion of mortality, and we know it. We are concerned now only of returning to the Father's house. Of rising into the light that we know is eternal being here and now. If my time is come, I won't argue. If it isn't, I don't need to be concerned. But I surrender that which I know isn't a reality or an identity for that which I know is reality and identity. So this really is a journey, even through the healing process and our understanding of it from concept to freedom. It's a process of transformation from sense to soul. Limitation exists only within the framework of that level called sense. Physical sense. We undoubtedly entertain a physical sense of body, but that doesn't make it so. And in reality, it is not so. You are pure spiritual being. You are, even now, whilst yet in the flesh, you are that pure Spirit of God, consciousness, omnipotence, and omnipresence. You are that which alone is and is forever expressing the fullness of its freedom in the light as all there is of you and your experience. Just be willing to leave all else for it. But Joel says there is no and there is no else. What else is there other than I am? So we can see how this whole evolution of the species of man takes place in the soul realm of consciousness. It is the true evolution of the species. It is that which will raise man from the flesh and from sense into the freedom of spirit and soul. It is that which we were created for, to be a light unto the world. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. But just as Joel said, all healing is instantaneous, but it might just take a few years, 10 or so, or more, to realize it. That which I seek, in truth, I already am. I won't become it. I have never not been it. And the process is in sloughing off the sense skin and walking on in that new body of spirit. Yet another invitation to rise and shine, for thy light is come. I am come, that you have life more abundant, an awareness of freedom by grace, undeniable by anything in this sense of world, which gradually as we grow in grace and attain greater degrees of light, we are able to see through and know for the nothingness it all is. It's not a power, it's not a person, it's not a condition, it's not a reality. There is only one here, now. God, Spirit, the infinite, invisible, the eternal, changeless, ever-present consciousness, I am. So let us not condemn ourselves because we have not yet fully graduated out of this world of belief, though we would. We truly would. Let us not condemn ourselves when those very forms are the boats of God. That will bring us to the safety of a new moment from which we will then be able to press forward and pursue this inner vision of our heart's longing to return to God. This is what we long for. This is the longing of our heart. This is that for which the whole earth groaneth and travaileth. This is that experience of which Joel speaks that is the true infinite way. It is what the infinite way is, which is an experience. Mysticism is an experience. It isn't a teaching. It's an experience of direct communion leading to conscious union with that which the world calls the Godhead bodily, yet in my flesh. Shall I see God? Right now, where that erroneous, mesmeric, hypnotic, mental suggestion seems to be, that is but the illusion of mortality. The arm of flesh, temporal power, nothingness. For I and my Father are one, and I can release and leave all for the safety of those everlasting arms. So be at peace in that holy place of the eternal here and now. Because here and now, which forever is, I am. Trust, for I will work in thee. Know, in truth, that you are me. Listen, always, if you can, and I will help you understand I am. Thank you.